Want to do something different this coming New Year's Eve? Want to make some new friends, share some laughs and give something back to the community? Then please come along and join in with the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show, a 24-hour Ogcast marathon. We're running for the full 24 hours starting from Monday, December the 31st at 1200 UTC. I'll be there and I really want to spend my New Year's Eve getting to know you too. Full participation details are available at www.hackerpublicradio.org.
Hi, this is Ahuka. Welcome to another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. In this occasion, I want to start what will probably be a fairly long series of recordings in which I'm going to talk about different aspects of LibreOffice. And I'm going to kick that off today. I hope to have at least a few things to say about all of the different components of LibreOffice. In some cases, I might have more than a few things to say, but I think it's going to be fun, and one of the reasons that I really want to do this is I've discovered this is one of those packages that everyone talks about, most people use, and yet when I talk to them fairly carefully or show them things, it usually turns out that they had no idea. So, for instance, I had very recently done a presentation on LibreOffice Writer for a local Linux users group, Metropolitan Detroit, and there were people there, friends of mine, who are Linux experts to some degree, had been active in the Linux users group for a long time, very knowledgeable, use Linux and things like that in their jobs, and I'd show them things, and it was like, oh, I never knew that. And boy, that's going to save me a lot of trouble now that I know how that works. So I think it's one of those areas that people just aren't as knowledgeable about, and maybe I can help with that. I happen to be an office software geek in that sense, and there had to be one somewhere. Now you know, you found one here. I know I'm not the only one. I've talked to some others. In fact, recently I had a chance to go to dinner with a fellow in Ohio named Andy Petaniak, who is also an office software geek, and we just got together to talk about things, and it was very enjoyable. So I want to see what I can do to help people to understand how all of this stuff works. And it does work very, very nicely, but you need to know some things about it. The first thing I want to say is that if you think about this in terms of learning a particular program, you are already off on the wrong track. All right? That's not a good thing to do. In fact, I sometimes will talk to people who are in schools, and they will say something like, yes, we are teaching our students Microsoft Office. And they're going to be very proud of themselves for doing that, you know, because that's a very forward-thinking thing to do. And, you know, they're going to go with Microsoft Office because that's what's used in the workplace and everything else. And the problem with that is that you are then completely helpless if you're put in front of any other program. And the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is they all work pretty much the same. There's not a huge difference between LibreOffice and OpenOffice and Microsoft Office and Corel WordPerfect Office, and for that matter, and any other Office suite you want to mention. They all do pretty much the same thing. And they tend to do it in pretty much the same way. And if you understand that, and if you start to learn the proper way to think about these things, and you start to understand the concepts underlying what they do, then you are in very good shape. Because if you know those things, you can be in front of any program at all, and it really doesn't matter, because you'll know what it is that you need to do. And then the problem that you'll run into, which is comparatively a rather minor one, is to say, okay, for this particular program, where did they put this? So you're going to find that things are sometimes in a different place, or they have a different name or whatever. But if you know what it is you're looking for, that's half the battle. I had someone talk to me about, we introduced LibreOffice and the feedback we got was, we couldn't do text boxes. And I thought, well, that's rather odd. That's a pretty standard kind of thing. But it turns out probably the biggest part of it is that in LibreOffice, they don't call them text boxes in the word processing program, which is Writer. They call them frames. So it's simply a terminology thing. In fact, the LibreOffice frames are more powerful than the text boxes you see in most other programs. So, in fact, rather than it being a weakness of LibreOffice, it really should be a strength if you know that. And if you don't know that, then you have a problem. So when someone tells me, oh, I can't find this or that feature, I start to say, wait a minute, tell me how you looked. Did you look at the documentation? There's a lot of ways that you can get up to date on this stuff. So that's what we want to do. We're gonna kick this thing off here. And so the first thing we're gonna say is, all the things I'm gonna talk to you about are, or at least as far as I can tell at this point, maybe we'll find something that is unique. But I'm going to say that basically everything we talk about will be just as applicable if you use OpenOffice. It'll be just as applicable if you use Microsoft Office. It'll be just as applicable if you use Corel WordPerfect Office. All right, so we're going to talk about the basic concepts that are involved and not get into the minutiae of, which buttons. I will start giving you some guidelines about those things as well. But one of the things that I have said, and I still think this is true, is that if you look at all of the software programs that people run, the most used program is word processing. That's right. I mean, I suppose email and the web browser might be more often used, but word processing is right up there. It's one of those apps virtually everyone uses. And I would also say the number one most misused application is word processing, because not one person in 100 has learned how to think about this properly. So I see this when I have someone sitting down at a computer and, you open up your word processing program, whatever it is, because remember, what I'm saying is this stuff applies to all of them, and you get basically a blank, looks like a sheet of paper on your screen. And you're going to start, what font do I want to use? Do I want to make it bold? Do I want to change the size? And you start clicking buttons all over the place. And when I see that, what that tells me is, you have no idea what you're doing, don't you? Because that's not the way to use a word processing program. There may be rare instances where that's as good as anything you can do. But a lot of times that's not the best way to think about things. We sometimes have blinders that, at one point we had typewriters and then word processing came along and it's like, oh, this is just a slightly better version of a typewriter because I can make corrections without using whiteout. No, word processing should imply something more than that. And because we have blinders, we sometimes forget what the software is actually capable of doing. I have a great example of just this blindness that hits people. Years ago, I was teaching a class in applied statistics, and this was in the computer lab because I always would teach that class very hands-on, that you were at the computer doing your calculations and everything, doing all of your work at the computer. And so at one point there was a statistical test that had to be applied, and I gave everyone the formula. This is the statistical test you're supposed to use. And one of my students pulls a calculator out of his backpack, and I said, interesting. So what are you doing? He said, well, I'm taking out the calculator, Professor, because you want me to calculate this, right? And I said, yeah, I do. And I said, let me just ask you a question. What's that thing in front of you? And he said, it's a computer. And I said, what does the word computer mean? Eventually, the light bulb went off, and he realized, this is a machine that by its very nature is capable of doing any calculation I want, and probably faster and easier than pulling a calculator out of the backpack. But he just, it hadn't occurred to him to think about it that way. Now, in terms of word processing, let's do a little thought experiment about all of this, shall we? Let's think about what happens when we're using a word processor. All right. So, we open up our word processor, and what are we going to do? Let's say, for instance, you're typing a letter. Right? It's a very common sort of thing to do. So, how would you type a letter with a word processor? Well, there are slight differences, but what I would probably do at the very top is I might click the flush right button and then type in today's date. And I might hit enter a couple of times and then hit the flush left button and type Dear Mary, comma, and then start typing my letter. And then when I'm done, I might do something like hit the tab button 7 times to move over just past the middle of the page, and I would type sincerely, comma. And I'd hit enter 3-4 more times to put a blank space, and hit the tab 7 more times and put my name, Kevin O'Brien. Or maybe just Kevin, if this is a letter to someone I'm on fairly familiar terms with. If it's a business letter, I'd put Kevin O'Brien, and then I would hit space and hit tab 7 more times and put in my address, enter, hit tab 7 more times, put in the rest of my address, and so on. Now, the thing that you want to think about is... And this is what a real expert would start thinking about. Don't all letters work mostly the same? Don't they have a lot of common features? Why would you do all of that manual work over and over and over? Now, I used to say that the secret of my success with understanding computers, and I'm not calling myself the world's foremost authority, but there are some things I know fairly well, and I've always said that the reason that I got good at those things that I do know fairly well is that I am very lazy. I'm lazy in the intelligent way, which is to say I don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. Right? And that's the whole point about computers. Computers are a device for automating things that you do over and over and over. In fact, I would say anything I do more than twice, I want to figure out how to automate it. Now, you can do that with word processing. You can do all sorts of wonderful things once you figure out the secrets to it. All right. So if we don't forget what we're doing, we can go in there and we can set it up so that, I only need to do this once, and then I've got it there. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is we need to be talking about two key concepts: templates and styles. And these are the key. All right. Any word processor will have templates and styles. In fact, if they don't have it, my feeling is it's not a word processor, it's a text editor. Nothing wrong with text editors. Okay? They do serve a function in this life. And when you want to use one, that's a great thing. But a word processor is something more than a text editor. It's something more than just a typewriter on steroids. It's something that has a tremendous amount of power if you use it properly. Now, before we get into this, I want to talk about something. And if you're a programmer, you're probably quite familiar with this already. And this is the concept of objects. So what do we mean by objects? In programming, there is this concept of object-oriented programming. Right? And that is to treat things, it could be snippets of code or what have you, we treat things as objects. And those objects can move around, can appear in different places. So in a word processing document, we can have all kinds of objects. Some of them are probably going to seem fairly straightforward. If you ever put a graphic into a word processing document, you probably think, well, that's an object, and you'd be absolutely correct. It is an object. What you might not be aware of is everything else on the page is an object. A paragraph is an object. A heading is an object. A footnote is an object, and so on. All of these things are objects. Now, objects have a number of characteristics that we want to keep in mind here. I'm going to mention three of them. Objects have properties. And there is now a general convention, it may not apply 100% of the time, but most of the time it does, that the properties for any object can be found on most computer systems by right-clicking on the object and looking for the properties. So if you have a word processing document open, if you were to right-click in the middle of a paragraph, you would see the paragraph properties. If right-click on a photo, you would see photo properties. And in fact, right-clicking on an object will often bring up a window that has additional, for instance, with photos or graphical objects, it might bring up not extensive, but a lot of editing capabilities that you can edit this object. You could create a graph in a spreadsheet application. Spreadsheet applications tend to have a lot of graphing. And take that object and put it into a word processing document. And if you right-click on it, it would often bring up the same properties you'd see if you were still in the spreadsheet application with the same editing things. So that's the first thing. Objects have properties, and right-clicking will generally get you to them. Another thing is that objects can function as containers. Very often, this is like those Russian dolls you've seen. You know, every doll has another doll inside of it, and that one has a doll inside of it, and so on. And just many levels of dolls inside of dolls inside of dolls. What we are dealing with Office programs very often is objects containing objects containing objects containing objects. And they're just different levels of them. And one of the things that can lead to is something called inheritance. All right? An object can inherit properties in a number of ways, either by being linked to another object in some way, or by being contained in another object that might influence what its properties are. Now, I realize that's a little bit abstract, but please hold on to that idea of objects as we go forward in this series. And I will occasionally point out that, you know, hey, we're dealing with objects here. Remember what I said. And that's going to help you to get a handle on that. Now, templates. Templates and styles, I said, are the key. What is it about templates? Well, the way that Office programs work is that they are all based upon templates. So when you open up a word processing program and you see that blank sheet of paper on the screen, what actually happened in the background is that your word processing program has a file that it thinks of as a template that says this is how new documents should look. And it is making a copy of that. And so your new document is an object. It is linked to another object called a template. And as a result, it inherits properties from that link. So whatever you had set up the template to do, your new document will do. That's a very important concept. Now, we can have all kinds of templates, and I think it's fairly straightforward when you look at something like word processing, and I think people have started to get a sense of that. What you may not realize is that the same thing is true with spreadsheets. Your spreadsheet program, when you create a new spreadsheet, it's based on a template. Your slide deck program, presentation graphics, you create a new slideshow based on a template. And when you understand that, then you understand, oh, I could make my template do whatever I want to do. Now, years ago, I was responsible for training all of the faculty and staff of a fairly small college, and training them all in using Microsoft Office at the time. I think when I started, it was Office 97 that I was teaching them on, and then what was next, Office 2000? don't even remember. But one of the things I remember from back then is that Microsoft Office, every time you started a new document, it was always Times New Roman 10 point. And 99 times out of 100, from what I could see, the very first thing people would do is change that to 12 point, because 10 point is really too damn small. I have no idea what they were thinking of, but I frequently feel that way with Microsoft. So people would have to go and change that. Now, what I did was I just went into the template and I changed the template. So from that, I just made that one change in the template, and then from then on, every time I opened it up, instead of being 10 point, it was 12 point automatically. People would occasionally see that, and how did you do that? Well, I'd show them how. It can be so much more. I did a demonstration when I was at Ohio Linux Fest, and I taught a two-hour session on LibreOffice at Ohio Linux Fest this past year, just about a month ago now. And one of the things that when I got for LibreOffice Writer, I simply opened up a new document, and then without touching the keyboard or the mouse or doing anything, I had people take a look at the screen and say, what can you see on the screen? And eventually they started to realize, oh, your document has opened saying heading 1. And yeah, that's right. Your document opened with the cursor in the middle of the page. That's right. And I would say that's because for what I do, for my workflow, that made a lot of sense. Right. Heading 1 is the title of your document. I tend to center my titles on the document. So I simply set it up in the template, open up everything that way, ready to go. And then we would go on through doing various other things. And I'll show you more about how you automate all of these things. So the point of what we're talking about here is that you can set up the template to do that, and then you don't need to manually change everything every time you go in there. So that's an example of what I call using it intelligently. So this is our introduction, and I'm going to get into the nuts and bolts next time. I'm going to actually take you through changing the default template in LibreOffice, and maybe even talk about setting up some other templates and explain exactly how you do that. And then we'll get into styles, and we're just going to have a wonderful time going through all this. So this is Ahuka signing off. Catch you later. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.